Sydney Catholic Schools is proud to present So You Want to Be a Lifeguard. Today in the studio, we have a rising star in the world of lifeguarding, television and big wave surfing. As an up-and-coming personality on the iconic Australian TV show Bondi Rescue, he's captivating audiences with his unwavering dedication to saving lives at Australia's most famous beach. At 21 years old, he's one of the youngest lifeguards ever featured on the show and is continuing to earn recognition as an emerging talent in Australian lifeguarding community. As an accomplished big wave surfer, he's known for taking on some of the most challenging conditions and competing at a semi-professional level. He is also a proud product of Catholic education, which has instilled in him the values of compassion and service, values he lives on a daily basis.
Please welcome to the studio Chase Hardacre. I'm Tony Farley, Executive Director of Sydney Catholic Schools. With me today is our student co-host Ella from St. Aloysius College, Cronulla. Chase, it's wonderful to have you here today with us. Thanks for coming along.
Beautiful. Thank you. Can't wait. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Chase, you've got a bit of a CV, but you're only 21 years of age. What was your journey to becoming a lifeguard?
It's one of those things that I just kind of come to me growing up at the beach from a very young age, whether it was surfing, fishing, anything in the water, diving, spearfishing. So I grew up down the beach, pretty much spent most of my days before school and after school down there, getting to know the lifeguards as well whilst you spend so much time down there. So it was one of those things that kind of come towards me as I got a bit older and I started figuring out what I wanted to do. And that's what one of those things was when it hit year 12 and I was just looking around me at people I liked and who I wanted to be like, and that was it.
What was your local beach?
I grew up at Bronte. Spent a lot of time at Bondi when I was younger. Dad's obviously from Bondi and the whole family, so I've migrated over to Bronte, which is a couple beaches over, and they're not happy about it, but that's the way it goes. Bit of a Bondi-Bronte battle there, but I chose Bronte, and yeah, it's a good when it comes to the family when it's that battle as well. But it's only a couple beaches over, and it's more dangerous than Bondi. So growing up there around the rocks and surfing and doing many rescues and stuff, the lifeguards and the boys down there always got to see me and know me when I was younger.
So being one of the youngest lifeguards on Bondi Rescue, what challenges have you faced and how do you overcome them?
Yeah, look, the funny thing with lifeguarding is you get thrown into the deep end with a lot of situations. It's not like, here we go, we're on a work site, we're a plumber and you watch me as an apprentice and I'll teach you how to put these two pipes together. You're not that staffed. Like most of the time, especially when it's busy, is when you get thrown in the deep end as a lifeguard, especially when you're younger. So whether you get told to go in a buggy and sit down at South Bondi by yourself, or you're in the tower to cover the beach or something like that, that's how you learn. And for myself, it was just through mistakes. Like there was plenty of them. And you get told after, this is what you could have done. Water's a priority. This is. So you get told how to manage stuff. And as one of the younger lifeguards, it was hard coming into that role without kind of straight out of school, without having anything to do with older people and having team leaders and bosses, and then getting thrown in the deep end in these situations where you just got to perform under pressure. And sometimes they're crucial and only a matter of seconds, but it all works out at the end of the day.
How do you manage those wily old veterans that are supervising you?
Oh, that's the hardest part. Like you can imagine with any job, there's always those people that are stuck in their ways, and it's hard doing something where you've learnt a set of skills to get to where you are today, but people are so stuck in their way and don't like change. So when I try to adapt different methods and you're trying to work with different people, it's such a hard thing to do. But I guess at the end of the day, when you're controlling those situations, it just depends. As long as everyone is safe and the beach is well managed, then you get to where you want to be.
What's a typical day look like?
Typical day. Well, look, in winter, you can imagine it's very, very different to summer. So we could have nothing happen in a day, but you'd never come into work and say that, because if you get here and go, oh, it's raining all day, how good's this? And someone jinxes it, it's like, why did you say that? Because that's the day that something's going to happen. And you never know. You get tourists, because tourists come down and they've got a calendar and it's this day on Friday, the 10th of December, we're going to go to the beach. No matter how bad the weather is, no matter how cold it is, they're coming down to the beach. So You get people that come down to Bondi as it's one of the most popular beaches in the world, and everyone just wants to swim there. So you're always watching the water, even on your quietest day. Someone will just walk into the water at South Bondi where the rip is, and you wouldn't even know, if pouring if rain. So it's one of those things that you're always on your toes and you never really know what's going to happen. That's why we like it.
We're told you're a big wave surfer and you love your surfing. So what draws you to the thrill of tackling challenging conditions?
Look, the thing with the surfing, it was ever since I was younger, I kind of just never, like I said, I never really got to do anything else but go down to the beach after school. And whether the surf was 10 foot, whether it was 6 foot, whether it was 2 foot, I wouldn't really know. I'd just turn up and go surfing. So growing up there, as I was younger, I kind of knew my limitations. But then as I got older, some guys were like, all right, here's a bigger board. You like to surf bigger ways. So go and kind of push me towards those stuff. So every time the surf got big, I'd borrow some of the lifeguards' boards in the huts at Bronte because I knew they were big enough. And I'd just go out on it, just regardless of what happened, washed in over the rocks, whatever. So I think the thrill of just the big wave surfing come from when I was young and kind of earning the respect of some of the older guys who were out there. And that's how I kind of got my job in the end of the day. So it's one of those things that's every time you go, it's very memorable.
Those monster waves, I mean, the see the ones in Portugal and around the world, Mavericks in California. What kind of person wants to do that? I mean, is it a particular type of person who says, I want to get on the biggest wave I possibly can?
Yeah, look, there's one type of person to paddle out there and you've got to have the go to do that. And then there's another type of person. When you're out in the lineup, you can go out there, and there's one type of person who's out there, and there's another type of person who wants to just catch a wave, and then there's another type of person which is like, I'm going for the biggest wave of the day. I'm going to sit here until I get it. So it kind of like breaks itself down, and you get to see it. Like I've seen it firsthand a couple of times where it's like, I'm just out here. I just want to catch a wave and just do it. And then there's another people that are like fighting for that wave, like it's 2 foot at Bondi, like with that aggression, like, oh, I'm getting the biggest wave, and I'm going to sit the deepest, and I'm going to sit the furthest out. And yeah. They're a whole new level and they do their training, their lives are based on it. So that's their job at the end of the day. But yeah, it takes a lot to get to there.
21 years of age, you're on television, so you're a bit of a celebrity.
Not myself. Very minor.
yeah, but what's it like? I mean, what sort of attention do you get?
Look, down at the beach, there's a fair bit of attention, especially when you're at Bondi. There's always people asking for photos, autographs. Like, I don't even have an autograph, but I sign my name differently every single time. So I get two kids and I'm like, Chase. And then I go, how did I just do that and do it again? And they're both like, this is different. So yeah, you get people that are big fans, especially overseas, UK, and people that love the show and support it. But for myself, being on the show a few times, It's quite rare, but you do get it outside of work or when I'm overseas sometimes. So, but they do love it. It's pretty crazy to think that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
How do you think your Catholic education has shaped your values and character? And how do you apply these values in your daily life as a lifeguard?
Yeah, look, I think being both at the lifeguards and coming from Waverley College myself, I think inclusivity and communication and big groups was a massive thing. So Waverley's really good with school sport and making sure you do it and putting the thumb down so that you're working in a group environment. And that's something that I took into my work, because if you're not working well as a team on a busy day, or you got no communication and nothing's coming together, then it's just not going to work out, because it's everything that's going to keep people safe at the end of the day. So that's definitely a value I took from Waverley, and probably like looking ahead, like not everything's just has to be right there put on paper in front of you. I always got told by my teachers that it's just look outside. Like, we had a good award at our school, and it was in every subject that come in while I was at the end of my career there, and it was about innovation in classes. So whether it was innovation in maths, innovation in English, it was kind of always looking outside the box and looking forward. So they had awards for that, and that kind of made me think, especially when I'm at work, it's always looking forward. You're trying to prevent something from happening. So if you see a rip pop up, you've got to go, all right, someone's going to get stuck there, I've got to put a sign there. You see someone swimming here, you're always preventing that. So you're always looking for the danger and looking ahead, trying to make ways to prevent everything from happening so that the beach can run smoothly. Otherwise, if it all just goes as you play, then it's just going to be bang after bang after everything just starts happening at once. So getting on the front foot and looking forward as well is definitely a main one.
You're 18 or 19 years of age when you leave school. and there's a sort of expectation that you know that what you want to do for the next part of your life, or indeed your life. What was it like for you when you left school?
Yeah, so for myself, I had a lot of pressure coming through year 11, and that was where I really tried thinking about knuckling down, and that's when I probably felt at my most stressed, because I come out of year 10, and although year 12 is one of the biggest years, because that's when everything matters, it was coming through year 11 where it was like, all right, this is kind of leading up to it. You're doing all your final subjects, you're doing everything. So this is where you're building your basis for the next year. And I found year 11 really tough. I through my academics, and I kind of lost a lot of motivation through it, just because I tried reasonably hard at the start of the year, and I didn't really get where I wanted to. And then it all kind of enveloped out from there. But when I got to year 12, it was the lifeguard induction week. And that was halfway through year 12, because it's Waverley Council and they're through a government. So you got to kind of get accepted into there at this date. Otherwise, you got to wait till the next year. So whilst I was still at year 12 at Waverley, and I applied for the job at Waverley Council, they were quite lenient with me, and I was quite lucky because they let me have a bit of time off so I could finish off my year 12. But I also started working down there when I had the time in between school, just to get the hours out. And then I was working, doing my HSC, because we had the big break there, whilst I was working down at the beach. So I had this good balance as well. And as soon as that came, I kind of was relieved, and all my mates were heads down thinking this is the be all and end all, like I got to do well. But I kind of got that relaxation thinking, all right, I know what I want to do for the next few years, and this is it. And if I decide to go to uni after that, no matter what my results, that's fine. And look, I've been down there for many years now, and to me, I couldn't think of anything worse than going back to uni, because it's just not me. I'm hands-on. I'm very busy. I like to do everything outdoors and stuff. So school and going to uni back for me was not the be-all and end-all, although it was everything to got me to where I am. It was definitely not something that I had to majorly stress out about at the end of the day and put all the pressure on myself in year 11 for.
It's a great example of finding the way that's best for you and succeeding in it. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, we've got a bit of a challenge for you now. No pressure, but it's called the lightning round.
Yeah.
Ella, are you ready to take Chase through it?
Yes. Yeah, so you've got 60 seconds to answer as many questions. So let's start.
No pressure, just 60 seconds. Okay.
How quick can you read?
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. So what did you want to do in primary school?
I wanted to be a pilot.
What was your first job?
First job was lifeguarding.
One thing you can't start your morning without?
A shower or a swim.
Last thing you Googled?
Probably how to get here.
What is your favourite book?
Our favourite book, Atomic Habits.
What's your favourite meal?
Chicken snitty.
Describe yourself in three words.
Can't sit still.
Dog or cat person?
I'm a dog person.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Breathe underwater.
What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
I already think that, so I wouldn't imagine what I thought if I couldn't.
There you go.
I think we got it in 60 seconds.
Beautiful. Nice reading. That was nice and quick.
Well done, Chase. You're accustomed to pressure. It's not as bad as being held underwater from a massive wave, is it?
No, it's not like that. Or watching someone drown in a rip, but it's similar.
So, Ella, let's take Chase back to school.
All right. So, what was your favourite subject, and how did this inspire you to become who you are today?
My favourite subject at school would have been maths. I liked maths from a young age. I found that I was always quite good at it, no matter kind of what got thrown at me. So, I liked maths, and probably the inspiration would be through my teacher. I had a really good teacher that made me really enjoy it through my elder years. Had the same teacher through year 10, 11 and 12. And yeah, she was amazing. So she did a really good job and kept me motivated in that class, where I actually really looked forward to going there.
Yeah. So what kind of student were you in school?
I wouldn't be the one to say that I was asked for by teachers, but I probably wasn't the worst. I blended in, but I was also quite loud. I didn't want to get in the bad books because my mum was quite strict with me, and I didn't want to be the quiet one. So I was kind of in between, but probably a little bit too loud.
You sound like a very balanced
at least I like to think of it. Probably a bit on the louder end.
Well, I'm finding that year 12 is just a whole new level of my schooling, and something that I struggle with is managing school, study, and playing an elite sport, while also trying to fit in just a normal teenage social life. How did you cope with the stress of juggling multiple aspects of study, work, and your sport?
Yeah, look, I found my social life very important when I was at school. My social life, especially in my older years, because they're the friends that I've had ever since. And the last thing I wanted to do was lose friends and then put everything into my work, put everything into my school, and then come out of there and kind of lose touch with everyone. So I found, especially a few years down, having a good close group of mates was very, very essential for me, and someone to fall back on as well. So having that was one of my priorities. And then the school sport come as well. I also did heaps of external sport as well, like co-curricular sport as well. So they were all on the weekends, and I didn't do much study on the weekends. I kind of allowed that time for sport and friends. But then during the week, you can find time. Like, you don't have to hang out with your mates after school when you're just being with them at lunch and all day at school. So whether it's just going home, and then that's when I found that it was best to go to the uni or go study or go practice some stuff. But yeah, I think finding that time during the week to go then knuckle down on my school stuff and all my academics was definitely the best way for me.
Yeah, awesome. So what traits or characteristics have you found beneficial in helping you succeed in what you wanted to do and achieve in life?
Ooh, traits. I find with myself that best thing for me would be everything happens for a reason, and I kind of just let it go. And if something bad happens or something that doesn't go my way, I have found out as I've gotten older, not being so stubborn and thinking that that was the be all and end all, and everything happens for a reason, and just following that and why that happened, and everything works out at the end of the day is what I found.
Now we're at the advice stage of the podcast. So again, no pressure. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice, well, for myself, I actually think I mentioned it before, that book, Atomic Habits, and it was something that I read not long ago, but it was one thing I took from it that was kind of at the start of the book is if you can get 1% better every day by the end of the year, you're going to be 37 times better than what you are now. And 1% better each day isn't much. It's just picking up one little thing, and whether you notice it or not, just it's, oh, I can see that piece of rubbish there or something, and you can just grab it and be conscious of some things and little habits, positivity, and just react on them and try and maintain that and not leaving stuff. The one for me was trying to remember to do something later. Oh, I'll just do that later, or I'll reply to that later. It's like, just do it now, because that was one of my bad things. Just do it now and get it done with. And that was something as well. It's just little things, but ends up being a big difference.
Yeah, it's the little things that count, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good advice. Now, what's the best piece of advice you could give to somebody who wants to, say, follow in your footsteps in terms of being a lifeguard and also being on television?
Yeah, well, in terms of being a lifeguard, I'd say best thing to do is just get in the water. Like, you've got to know and understand the ocean like the back of your hand. You got to react to things, and you got to be confident. So if someone was ever going to go down the career path of lifeguarding or something to do with the water, from a young age you can do life saving, get in the surf club, see if it is for you, see how you like it, and just get in the water as much as you can, whether it's swimming, whether it's paddling, whether it's surfing, anything to do with the ocean, reading currents, going out there. Every time you go out there will surprise you, and it's a crazy little world in the ocean. So best thing to do is just give it a crack and see if it's for you.
Just in terms of being in the water, what's been the most incredible experience you've had being in the water in your life? Have there been moments where you've thought, I can't believe this is happening?
Yeah, look, I've had many of those times, and that's why I think I love it so much, especially the big wave stuff. Like, you find these crazy little areas in Australia, which has made me travel. I travel for the surf, so you find these crazy areas in Australia that no one would ever see or think to go to, whether it's in the desert in South Australia or in the desert up the northwest of Western Australia. You can just go and the scenery and the wildlife, with seals, dolphins, whales, like I saw sperm whales, those big blue whales as well up West Oz last time. I'm surfing and they're coming underneath. But you get the sharks as well that are a bit more scary.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. Had to throw that one in. But and you're in these places and you're just blown away. It feels like you're surfing in the desert in the Sahara sometimes, and you're actually just in Australia. So it's just the scenery that just takes in more than anything.
Chase, thanks so much for joining us here today. Congratulations on what you've done, and we look forward to the next season of Bondi Rescue.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. It's going to be a good one. It was a real busy season this year, so there's plenty of action. Stay tuned for it.
Make sure to visit Sydney Catholic School's Facebook and Instagram, where we'll be giving you a sneak peek of what's in store for next time.
Find more about the opportunities Sydney Catholic Schools provides its students in community outreach and volunteering. Visit our website www.sidcatholicschools.newsouthwales.edu.au.
God bless.